I'm excited that today is Friends Day. I woke up this morning, I came downstairs. Abby's laying on the couch watching TV. Leon, the dog, is laying in her lap, curled up next to her. And on the floor next to both, in front of both of them, is a spot where he has peed. And I'm so excited about today, I didn't even care. I just went and got a rag and cleaned it up like I've done many times before, but usually I care. Today I don't even care. It's Friends Day. This is a good day. If you're here because someone invited you, thank you. Thank you for coming. You bless them by coming and being here worshiping with us. You honor God by coming to be here together today. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I want to talk about friendship today. What a good friend is. A good friend is worth a lot. A good friend is worth a lot. Especially when you need your friend. A good friend is priceless. And I want to share two stories. The first one is Mark chapter 2. And this is where Jesus is in Capernaum. He's probably at Peter's house. It says the house. This is probably Peter's house. Jesus is there. He's preaching. And people have come. And they have come in the house. They've filled up the house. They've filled up the house. They're coming. They filled up the doorway. You can't even get to the doorway to hear Jesus preaching. It's full. And here comes a man who's paralyzed. And he's carried by his friends. He has four friends that carry him. And they come to this house. The man wants to be healed. He knows if he can just get to Jesus, he can be healed. And his friends know that. They have faith. They come, they can't get to Jesus. And I would imagine, I could see them, you know, one of them surely says, you know, Josiah. I mean, we don't know what the man's name was, the crippled man. Maybe, you know, Ezekiel. It's full. We can't get in. I mean, we'll have to try to catch him tomorrow. We'll have to try to maybe find him next week. Maybe another one of the friends speaks up and says, you know what, I have an idea. The good news is, I think it'll work. The bad news is, we're going to have to make a new door. On the roof. By hand. Because in those days, the roofs of a home would typically be flat. They would be constructed of branches over beams and mud on top. So you'd have dried mud on top of a house. It would have oftentimes a staircase up to the rooftop. And they would use that rooftop like years ago when we didn't have air conditioning. We would use a porch. Anybody remember sleeping on the porch? This is how we separate old from the young here, folks. Sleeping on the porch. Well, they would use a roof for that. And so that's their plan. They go up on the roof. And they tear through the roof. And they lower this man down. Anyone here besides me not like to impose on others? I wouldn't have been. I'd have been the one friend that would have been kind of like, are you guys sure about this? I mean, he'll probably be somewhere tomorrow. I'm the kind, if I have a steak and it comes and I ordered it well done and I cut into it and it starts mooing, I'll just eat around the edges, you know. I mean, I don't want to trouble the waitress. My wife's the kind, she'll take that plate. If need be, she'll walk it straight back in the kitchen. She'll throw it on the grill herself if she needs to. A good friend will impose on your behalf, won't they? A good friend will impose on someone in order to help you. So we read that these friends lowered this man down in front of Jesus. They open a place in the roof. When they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. You think about that. Surely debris started to fall. People must have spread out in front of Jesus. What's going on? They lower this man down through the roof to Jesus. Do you have friends who would help you anytime, anywhere? Do you have a friend that you could call in the middle of the night and they would help you? Do you have a friend? If you really want to know who your friends are, I mean, I've had friends help me with different things. I've had them help me with my car, help me with my house, I've had, I remember the time Sydney was running around here, and you see these brick corners? She caught one of those with her head and had to go get staples. I still remember that night leaving Abby with the Bentons. When you have friends that do something that you need, just even if it's nothing else, at a drop of a hat, will you take care of my young child? If you really want to know who your friends are, move. Think about that for a minute. Just move and see who shows up. That's who your friends are. Brian Benton, David Basu, these are really good friends. They've helped a lot of people move. Do you have a friend that will help you get closer to Jesus? Do you have a friend that will help you get closer to God? Is there a greater friend than one that will help you get closer to the Almighty? In verse 5 it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Notice it says Jesus saw their faith. Jesus knew the heart. He could perceive the heart, the thoughts. Jesus knew their faith. Where is your faith? Isn't your faith in your heart, in your mind? Your faith is inside, right? But it doesn't say Jesus knew their faith. It says he saw their faith. He saw their faith because these folks are making a new door in this house. Hey, somebody's got to repair that later, right? And this is they probably had that roof just like they wanted it. He saw their faith. But remember, faith without works is dead. James 2:14. Husbands, wives, try telling your spouse you love them, but then don't act like it. See what happens. When my wife tells me she loves me, I hear that she loves me. When she shows me she loves me, I see it. She'll come in sometimes, and husbands, you might be able to relate. She'll hand me the remote, and she'll say, whatever you want to watch. She might as well be handing a scepter to a king. I mean, I see her love.
Amen.
Yes. Jesus saw their faith. And he said something very odd. The man was in front of Jesus for healing, but Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. No one expected Jesus to say, your sins are forgiven. He didn't come for forgiveness of sins. He came for healing. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Some of the scribes who were there, they questioned in their hearts, you know, who is this that can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sins. But in verse 9, Jesus answers. He says, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up, take your bed, and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? Jesus was saying, I'm going to heal the man, but you need to know I can do something much more than healing. I'm going to heal him, but this man needs something much more than healing. And I can do that too. What do you need the most? And if anyone's thinking a new bass boat, that's the wrong answer. What do you need the most? The answer is forgiveness of sins. If you're of the age of accountability, that's the answer, and it's not even close what the second thing on the list is. What you need the most. What we need the most. What this man needed the most was not healing. That's kind of odd to think about. He can't even walk. But that's not his greatest need. His greatest need is forgiveness of sins. A good friend will guide you to the one who can give you what you need the most. And hear me on this. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. True love is helping someone be closer to God, knowing they need God more than they need you. Now think about that. And that's true for friendship as well. But especially in a marriage relationship, true love is helping your spouse get closer to God because they need that relationship more than they need you. Well, Jesus says to the paralytic, He says, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. He rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. He was healed. He was healed immediately. This man was carried in. He was lowered down. I mean, he was carried in, but he walked out. You talk about a good day. He was healed. He could walk. He was forgiven of his sins. Why did that happen? It happened because of four good friends, right? Who helped him get to Jesus. If you have a friend who will say, I've been missing you at church, thank God for that. Amen? If you have a friend who will say, you know, would you come and go to church with me? Thank God for that. Thank God if you have a friend who will try to help you get closer to God, because Satan knows he has not nearly as good a chance at getting our souls when we're together. Satan does not have near the chance of getting your soul when we're together, does he? A Christian saying, I don't really want to be a part of other Christians, is like a young gazelle out in the field saying, you know, tomorrow I don't think I'm going to run with the herd. And the lion nearby hearing it and saying, really? Tomorrow you're not going to run with the herd. That's interesting, because that's the very thing I was looking for. The very thing I work on is getting one of you knuckleheads separated from the herd. And then I will take you out. The devil works around the clock to take our soul, does he not? Folks, we're staking everything on this truth. Either we believe that or we don't. And if we believe that, we have to have our eyes open and know I am much like a gazelle. I need the herd. Without the herd, I'm in trouble. Without the church, we're in trouble. If you've had a thought, and I've had this thought, so if you've had this thought, you're not the only one, but if you've had the thought, you know, I just don't want to go to church. To church service, where the church is, the people, we're the church. I don't want to go to church. And fill in the blank. You can put whatever you want. You know, I just don't feel like it. Tired, been busy, you know, so-and-so there gets, you know. If I had to go to church, I'd see Rick Odell, and it just irritates me when he just gets on my nerves. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. Him and his OSU propaganda. I get tired of it. If you've had that thought is from Satan. Because Satan wants us isolated. How do I know that? Because what happens when we get together? What happens when Christians get together? You ever come here and you didn't feel that strong? You didn't feel that spiritually filled and you left on fire? I mean, you left with a bounce in your step for God? When Christians get together, we strengthen each other. We encourage each other. We build each other up, don't we? Whether you're receiving the encouragement or whether you're giving it, that's what happens when Christians get together. I want to share one more with you, Acts 16. Acts chapter 16, another story of friendship, starting in about verse 16. Paul and Silas, they're in Philippi. Philippi is outside of Palestine, so this is a Gentile area, a lot of idolatry. Well, there are some people there who have a slave girl. They own a slave. She's a girl. She's possessed by a demon. Normally, demon possession, when I think of demon possession, I think of, you know, out of control. This girl is possessed by a demon, and she was fortune-telling. She was telling the future. Imagine if you could tell the future. Imagine if you could predict the future, what you could do with that just from a greed standpoint. Purely greed, right? I'll give you an example. This past yesterday, I knew something. Without a doubt, I knew my team would not lose yesterday. Not a doubt in my mind. I knew the future, right? And it was a good weekend. Okay? Calm down. It's enough laughing. If you could tell the future, you could bankroll, right? A business, if you could truly do it. Well, these owners were wealthy because of this girl. Paul cast the demon out. Down goes the business. Guess who's mad? The owners. They're angry, and they get the city stirred up so much that they get the authorities involved, and they seize Paul and Silas and beat them with rods. They strip them of their clothes, beat them with rods severely. Then they throw them in prison. They inflicted many blows. They threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. The jailer made a mistake. The jailer put them in prison, the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. The jailer made a mistake. The mistake wasn't that he put them in the inner prison. The mistake was that he put them in the inner prison. Paul and Silas. I imagine it like this. I don't know how it happened, but when my imagination runs a little bit, here's what I think about it. I imagine their feet are in stocks, by the way. Severely beaten. It's late. It's dark. There are other prisoners there. I imagine Paul over here trying to get comfortable. Can't get comfortable. And I just hear Silas over here. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And I hear Paul over here. Silas, it's late. I'm trying to sleep. No, not one. No, not one. Silas. Come on. It's been a long day. None else can heal all our souls' diseases. Silas, come on, I'm trying to sleep. No, not one. No, not one. Then I hear Paul. Jesus knows all about our struggles. And I see Silas, I picture him in my mind over here just smiling. I got him. I got him going. I hear them singing together. Right? Don't you know one of them got the other one going? He will guide till the day is done. Maybe that wasn't a song they sang. Okay? I know that song wasn't around back then, was it? Maybe it wasn't a song. Maybe it's a different song. Maybe it's this song. Get right, church, and let's go home.
Get right, church, and let's go
home. Get right. If you put Keith and I in prison together, don't put us in the same cell. Because we're going to start some singing. The jailer made a mistake putting Paul and Silas in the same cell. Because they got to singing. They got to praying. The other prisoners were listening to them. Next thing you know, there's an earthquake from God. All the shackles come off. Why? Because they were together. And they started singing. They started praying. God reached down to rescue them. Now, the jailer made a mistake. If you know the end of the story, you know that everyone stayed. The jailer was about to kill himself, knowing if these prisoners get out, this is bad. The jailer's about to kill himself. Paul and Silas talk to him, preach to him, teach him. He's converted that night. He washes their wounds. They wash his sins. He's baptized in the middle of the night. The jailer made a mistake as a jailer, but as one with an eternal soul that the devil is trying to steal, the jailer made the best mistake he could make. Because when Christians are together, we strengthen each other. We need each other. We need each other. I am not strong enough to fight the devil and beat him by myself. And neither are you. There's not a gazelle that is strong enough without the herd. There's not a Christian that's strong enough without this herd, the church. We're going to sing a song. Go ahead and let's stand together. We're going to sing a song. During this song, if you have a need, if you have a need for prayer, if there's one here this morning that you're not, we're singing a song about going to heaven. And if you know you're not ready, you're not right with God, and there's something you need, it may be you've never had your sins washed away in baptism, never given your life to Christ. If there's something you need, we want to help you with it. Let's sing together.
Get right, church, and let's go. Get right, church, and let's go. Oh, oh, oh. Get right, church, you better get right, church. Oh, then get right, church, and let's go. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. So back train and get your load. Back train and get your load. Back train, you better back train. Load and back train and get your load. So get right, church, and let's go. Get right, church, and let's go. Oh, oh, oh. Get right, church, you better get right.